Everybody try to find a seat. Almost got everybody in. Wow. You ladies want to hear about sex. I wonder if we have the best numbers in this group, I'm sure, huh? Squeeze in, standing room only, come on. Well, we don't want to waste much time. We want to give Denisa all the time that she needs. And I have the pleasure of introducing her to you. She came from the Dominican Republic with her husband 24 years ago. She has two beautiful children, 23 and 26 years old. And her husband, Jorge, are pastors in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Amen? So she got a master's degree in counseling psychology from Trinity International University in Florida, and also has a sex therapy certification. And she's going on to get her doctorate right now, so soon to be Dr. Suarez, okay? And today, we are blessed to have her. She's well known in the Hispanic community on television and radio, and she takes a subject that churches sometimes skip over and avoid because it's difficult, and she makes it simplistic. And the good thing I like about it is she brings the Word of God every single time into, you know, what she's talking about. Because God created everything, right? And he said, everything is good, right? So this isn't like a taboo workshop. This is the Word of God. And so right now we are blessed to have Denisa Suarez to minister to us this afternoon. So whether you have an issue or you know a friend that has an issue, prepare to receive from her, okay?
I love Dr. Vanessa, and that doctor thing's rubbing off on me. It's so good to be here. This is my house. We feel very comfortable here. We've been friends of the house, family, for many, many years. Started with your leadership ministering to our leadership, and then us becoming direct part of just a family. So I love it when I'm here. I feel like I'm really home. I'm very comfortable because I know the value that this place holds for the scripture. And I know that this is also a church that cares for people. This is not just a building. This is not about showing things. We've experienced the life of this church investing in people. And you hear the testimonies. And that's exactly what we want to do today. We want to talk about your struggles. We want to talk about your sexual life. We want to make sure that you're being successful and that you are living the way God intended for you to live. And sometimes we just are embarrassed and we just don't know who to ask, or because my friend is also struggling. So how do we go about this? And we've been imparted such a beautiful word this whole day into what God is and what he can really be in us and the things we can achieve. And not just to think that we're overcomers, but to experience overcoming. That faith, not just to believe that he performed miracles, but to experience one in my own life. And that's kind of like the track I want to shift you into. Because our sexuality is not different than anything else in our lives. It's part of who we are. We are mind, soul, spirit, and body. We're all three things at one time in one place. And all of it, we don't just take the spirit aside and become just that. We don't just take our bodies and become just that. We're everything. And when we look at that and that every aspect of it is important and every aspect of it needs to be in alignment with what God's heart is for us, then we can walk a little bit easier, a little bit lighter, without so much pressure. And obviously, and I've said this before, I've said it here, society, just like Ms. Marilyn said this morning, society wants to dictate what we should believe, wants to show us this is the way, wants to take us, this is the route. But we don't have to comply. We know the truth. We know the word of God. And we know the route that we need to go. We know the way we want to go. And I'll tell you off the bat, right now, I leave believing that God wants me to walk in truth and in holiness. In respect to everything. God expects me not to steal, not to lie, not to kill, and not to have sex before I get married, outside of marriage. So all of it, that is the expectation of God. Do we succeed at everything? Do we succeed all the time? Do we have to go there and dwell in that and become weak or complacent because we know that? No. We get ourselves armed, equipped, and ready to fight. And we will go fighting. And sometimes we may struggle or we may fall, but you know what? We get right back up and we keep on going. That is what we live. That is what we are here for, to be equipped. To, you know what? I got hold of that time. Now I'm getting hold of this one. Now I'm doing this. Now I'm going in the other direction. So that's exactly what I want us to talk about. And I want to talk a little bit about sexual desire. What is, and I know we want to give you some tools, 1, 2, 3 kind of deal. It's not that simple, and that's why I'm going to try to stick to my notes because I tend to flow and just go and minister. But I know you guys have very specific that you wanted. You want 1, 2, and 3 to be successful in your singleness and staying pure. So I'm going to try to, keywords, stick to my notes so I can give you those. But I want to talk a little bit about sexual desire because sometimes we don't understand, you know, what exactly is happening. And I see that there's ages here from the younger to older. And some of you are kind of like, at experimenting some of these drive, some of these sensations, and they're natural. They're substances that are produced in our brain at specific times, and they're part of what our body needs to fuel sexuality, and they're part of the development. Just the same way that teeth grow at a certain time, and there's pain, inflammation, there's signs, there's tickling first, and then it hurts. Like all that process so that we can eat solid foods. Same way, everything else is preparing our bodies. So our sexuality starts getting prepared, elaborate in the brain with those substances. Obviously, when we're younger, in our teens, sometimes there's not the maturity yet on the brain to be able to handle decision-making, which is where most decisions are formed. That area is not mature until later in life. So that's why you see so much crazy horniness going with a younger crowd, because they don't know what to do with all that energy just yet. And that's why we need to teach them. That's why we need to speak about this in the church. Because if not, all that drive and all that craziness that they're not used to and not experienced in handling will get out of control and satisfied through MTV, through junk movies, through young programs, and with the wrong person at the wrong time. So in older people, we still get that desire, and we still get all that testosterone going. Unfortunately, sometimes we are exposed to physical things that seem to take care of it. And that's where the wrong begins for the majority of you, of all of you ladies here. A man, a movie, pornography, masturbation, things, toys, you name it. And we start placing the value of thinking we're satisfied in those things, when in reality, we're not satisfying the depth and the reality of what sexuality really means to us. We are believers. And to us, sexuality is not two bodies becoming one physically. To us, sexuality is making a covenant, a lifelong covenant, and becoming one in spirit. Okay. So for us, it's not complete. It's not fulfilled. It's not satisfying if it's not in those terms. So it doesn't matter if you think you're satisfying yourself. If you think that you're accomplishing something, what you're doing is really going on the little hamster's wheel, getting nowhere. You're getting nowhere. You're getting nowhere. And actually, you're making your physical appetite bigger and bigger because you're developing it, and you're still empty. You're still shallow. You're still not satisfied. So I want you to start thinking of that, because just that mindset is going to help you know how to fight these. You think, well, can she just tell me how, you know, when I'm feeling that, you know, it's like, what do I do? Well, I could tell you, yeah, get a tray of ice, you know, put it in a little, and you know, it's like, yeah, I could go that route, but no. Let's go in our heart, and let's think for a moment. The Word of God talks about talks about self-control, talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and how we don't just go from a passion or like an irrational thought or a hunger of something and just go and pursue it. The Word of God, you know, teaches us that we need to understand the whole idea of what is God doing behind this. You know, what is He after? What is His intention? So what should be going in my head and in my heart in regards to sexuality? How do I approach it? Because my parents, they just lived together. My mom had one man and another man and another man. Or my dad did this. And like, that's what we've seen. Well, that's not what God wants for us. If we're measuring by what we know, we're going to be measuring wrong. What does the Word of God say? That's our new standard. That's where we need to measure from. And I don't care if my best friend is living with her boyfriend, or if my best friend bought the latest toy or whatever she's doing, that is not going to determine what God wants for me. And like Marilyn said this morning, nobody can take your dream away from you. That is up to you to defend. And if you want to be a woman that is pleasing God, you know what? Even through the hard, difficult, challenging, I don't know what to do moment, you're going to figure it out. You are. Because some of you are single moms here that have gone through hell and back. And you're still here, and your kids are still doing well, and you figured it out. And he left. And you had no job, and you had no food, and you had nothing, and you're here, and you're well. You figured it out because you want it bad enough. You want it well for your kids. You want it well for you. Then don't give me the oh, you know, but in the sexuality, it's different because a little fun. No, it's not different. It requires the same intentionality and the same commitment. So we cannot try to go and solve the problem the easiest way out. We need to face it, and we need to understand how deep and how complex it can be. And we start with what we put in our minds. And Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is noble. Now, it's TV, soap operas, all this music we hear. Is that true? Is it really true? Oh, yeah, and I did this last night, and I got the other way. And we're going in the car, you know, with it. Yeah, this music makes me happy. Really? It makes you happy. It makes you horny. It makes you think of scenarios that you're not having. It makes you, so, I mean, whatever is true is part of what he wants in our heads. So, again, just like the message we've heard, what you put, you know, inside of you is what's going to come out. If your heart is filled with the Word of God, there's going to be wisdom coming from your brain. But if it's full of the junk of all these genres and this music and these programs today, it's like that's where you're going to go. So if women are showing cleavage and they're living for a flat stomach and they're, you know, and that's their life. And I don't know, in the Hispanic soap operas, I don't get it. They wake up with a whiskey glass at a work office. I mean, people, like in real life, don't you get fired for drinking at work? But, you know, their heels and the little skirts, and everybody had perfect surgery. I don't know where they go get them. It's like everybody's, really? That's not true. It is not true. That's not how you get a man. That's not how you get a relationship. That's not how you connect. And that's not how sex is fulfilling. So we need to start right there, getting in our minds, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, pure. We've lost that word. Pure, clean, separated. Sex is a big deal. It is a big deal. It's huge. It's beautiful in the right context and in the right time. Why ruin it before? And you know what? I believe in a God, not only of second opportunities, of a million opportunities. And if you've lost that, he restores that today. He restores that now. And sex can become that beautiful experience for you that you can look forward to in something that is going to last and that is not going to leave you used or alone. Something that is going to connect you and that is really going to bring fulfillment to your life. Oh, my gosh, that was just my intro. how much time do we have? I do. I'm good. Okay. now, God does not take sexual desire away from us. Please do not pray that. And if you have prayed that, repent right now. God will not take sexual desire away from you because there's a purpose in that. There's a pursuing. There is something he wants to do in your life and in the life of that person he has for you that needs to happen through the drive that that brings, the maturity that waiting and holding does. So we need to do that. And I do like and I feel that God prepared me for this field. I knew I wanted to do this since I was a little girl. I've just known I wanted to be a sex therapist. Now, how weird is that? It had to be God. Because in a world of macho men in the Dominican, hello, you know, it's like that would have not been possible. But I remember dating my husband and us committing to waiting until we were married. Now, talk about hard. Oh, boy, really hard. I mean, and I remember one night I prepared this. I used to cook, you know, it's like, you know, fix this meal. And I was all cute and all nice waiting for him. It was Friday night. That was the night that he would come home. And he calls me, I'm not coming. What do you mean you're not coming? Is the car broken? You know, like, what's wrong? You sick? No, I'm just not coming. What do you mean you're not coming? It's like, and I promise you, I went from angry to crying to begging to, you know, it was like multiple personalities just showing. Well, he felt that he could not keep himself that night. So he chose not to come. Now, I ended up the conversation slamming the phone. You remember those phones? Slamming that phone and crying and undoing my hair, like, because I was just so mad. And I cry myself to sleep. But you know what? I am so grateful today. Because I can stand here and tell you I'm a human, not from Venus, not from Mars, from here, like you. With the same blood and flesh, and we were able to wait. Why can't you? Now, it was hard. It was hard. But we were able to do it. Now, we had strategies. And one of the things that the word says in Song of Solomon, and I'm only going to quote a little bit. You guys can find it there. It talks about do not arouse or awaken love until it's ready. Don't start pushing buttons so then you cannot stop. Because if he would have come, you know, cute, I'll be strong for you, baby. Yeah, right. No, we're not seeing each other. And no, we did not stay until the wee hours of the morning out. And no, I was not allowed in his house if there was nobody else in his house. Now, these days, I have my own apartment, and he comes, and we watch movies, and whatever you guys want to do, I don't care. I'm not judging. But you know what? We need to have boundaries. We need to have clear boundaries so we're not setting ourselves up for failure. So whether it's that or it is that you cannot be alone, because you're single and you're struggling with masturbation or with pornography, we need to decide what are the boundaries we need. You know, what are the boundaries that are necessary in my life? And I ask for you guys to have your own piece of paper and not to give you an outline, because as I'm going to go into here now, I want you to think, what are some of the things you're struggling with? And what are you associating this need, this sexual need, with? Can't you define what you're really feeling when you're being highly sexual, when you're feeling that your appetite is getting out of control, or when you're feeling that you could eat a whole cow? You know, it's like, oh my God, I can't handle this. Can we figure out what it is? Oftentimes, our sexual desire has less to do with sex. Less to do with sex and more to do with physical, emotional, spiritual health. So if you're struggling and it feels like a never-ending battle, where are you in your spiritual walk? Did you wake up this morning and declare that word over your life? Did you wake up this morning and commend your day to the Lord today? And I'm not talking about tomorrow. You remember the ashes that Pastor Deborah was talking about. I'm not talking about tomorrow. And I'm not talking about yesterday. Today, God, I just trust that you're going to give me the self-control that I need, that the Holy Spirit is just going to flow in me, that I'm going to be in tune to hearing your voice, to your guidance. Is that how we're waking up in the morning? Because we're not only going to have sexual issues, we're going to have issues with our language, with our attitude, with all kinds of things. We're just not going to be that godly woman that he wants us to be. So what is really the problem? Can we figure out if it's something more than just that physical itch that we're relating to what we're going through? So, I was going to switch to Spanish. Let's learn to practice self-control. And like the Word of God says, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, they need to develop in us. And we need to, I get the question oftentimes of husbands who are deployed. Can we have sex over the internet? No. The Word of God says, let's exercise self-control. Now, you can talk and see each other and, oh, my love. But you know what I've gotten? Women that realize that with her husband deployed, their lovemaking on the cyberspace was recorded and other soldiers were seeing it, and then we have to deal with all that trauma and all that stuff. No, we're going to practice self-control, because if she's sick and with a pregnancy that cannot have sex, what are you going to do, run because we haven't done it? No, we're going to practice self-control, and all of us have to practice self-control, not only the single ones, the married ones. We also have to practice self-control. The Lord expects that of us, so we need to be aware of what is not helping us. Is it the TV you're watching? Is it the friends that you're hanging out with? What is it? What is it that you're doing? Is it where you're going, that you're having a drink? What is it? Is it the atmosphere? Well, you've got to see in your world what is conducive to you feeling sexual, because that's got to go. Now, for some of you, it may not be the TV. It may not be movies. It may not be the music. It may be the company. Or it may be, you know, what is it? Is it the clothing you're wearing? Oh, yes. Because if I feel too sexy, and let me tell you, I have some outfits that I will not come here with those. But you know what? I bet you when he gets home, I'll have one of those on. Well, it puts me in the mood. So, yeah, it makes me feel sexy. Now, if you don't have a husband, and you don't, why are you putting stuff like that on? Why are you wearing that on their way? What's the point? You're going to end up failing. So let's prepare appropriately and exercise self-control. Let's practice putting words to our feelings and experiences. Am I hurting? And I want to be comforted through sex, because that's what I've seen. That's what movies show you. Oh, she's hurting, and then they end up in bed. Really? Did you talk about what was hurting her? What was the problem? Oh, it worked. So am I hurting? Am I angry? I'm so frustrated. I'm so fed up with that work. I'm just done with them. So sex is going to fix that? So can we start putting words to what we're feeling? Defining it a little bit. Lonely, tired, disappointed, insecure, vulnerable. What are those things? Life in community was the last point that Pastor Deborah made. How perfect, all those messages. Like, life in community saves us trouble. We cannot do life alone, and we don't need a man. Now, you may want one, and I hope God sends you one. But you know what? My Savior is Jesus. I don't need Jorge. I love Jorge. And I hope we die at the same time, the same day, because life's going to be really hard if he's different. But you know what? I don't need him to rescue me, to save me. Jesus was enough. And you don't need a man to give you identity. You don't need a man to help you succeed. Now, that mine has been an amazing support and that a man can do that, yes, the same way we do it to them. But we need to understand, you know, where we stand and what is it that I'm needing? What is really the deep need so that it can be satisfied? Learn to practice. We want to have amazing relationships, but don't want to practice the self-control it takes to love, to honor, to cherish our loved ones. We don't want to say no. We want the easy way. If we want to lose weight, we cannot just say, okay, I'm losing weight, and still eat the potato chips and the pizza and all the stuff. It doesn't work that way. You have to say no, and I'm not going to have it. So we need to go the real way to real health. You're going to have to get your behind moving and do a little exercise. So it's the only way. And then another point, be aware of what is constantly stimulating your senses, not just what you choose. This is beyond the choices we're making. This is what's inevitably in our environment, so that you can do something about it. And I've seen women that they've agreed, they've had a friend that, you know, it's like, I was exposed to this at work, or I had to do this conference, and, you know, I came out of it, process that stuff that sometimes is not your choosing, but that it's been kind of like imposed on you or showed up at you. You know, a billboard, a conversation you heard on the bus, you know, something that triggered that you didn't really seek it out, but it became part. We need to be really aware. There's coworkers that they're toxic, and you don't really realize it because they're not bad people. They're just toxic. And you don't realize that you come droopy at home or you come horny all the time after you speak with that lady. Well, then we need to start being a little bit more sharper into what are those things that are, you know, bringing those sensations, those feelings into us. We need to invite God in openly and clearly. Ask him. Cry. Get angry if you need to. God is not afraid of your emotions. Hello? He created you with all of them. Pretty complex if you ask me. He's not afraid of it. I am so disappointed in you, Lord. It's okay to tell him. I feel left alone, vulnerable. But you know what? Let him in. I say, you know what? I have this desire. I want to be one with someone. I want to feel fulfilled. You know, why do they have that and I don't? You need to tell him. You can just swallow that up and pretend it's not happening. Because if it's really happening, are you allowing him to heal that area of your life? He's a gentleman. You need to invite him in. So you need to invite God, not just on your finances, on the healing for a tumor. You need to invite him to heal your sexuality, to give you the right perspective, to help you find what is the healthy thing for me to do here. What do I fill this void with? What is the deep emotion that I'm feeling that I need to address? That's that God wants to do that in your life. And it's not just reading our scriptures and having our times with him. It is speaking specifically about when I go to bed, Lord Jesus. It's like that. I need you here now. I'm having the temptation now to turn. You know what? You may need to cut cable off. The heck, you're going to save some money. Go ahead and do it. It's like, don't have the stuff accessible. Don't bring the laptop into your room. Don't set those boundaries clearly. Let him in for him to give you strategies. Okay, we're going to do this way. You're going to have a roommate now, someone that you can be accountable to. Or you're going to find so-and-so or so-and-so who you sit with your table at Women's Rock. And you're going to, you know, open your heart and you're going to become partners. Hello, you have a place here that is amazing. I've seen the kind of relationship and fellowship you have here. There's no reason why a woman should walk here alone. There's just no reason for you to not have a partner. Or two, people who really you can open your hearts to and walk in support. But you need to let God in with his army, with his other women, with his presence, with his Holy Spirit while you're doing that. And this may involve having a written plan. That when you sit with him, you know how he gives us ideas? I'm writing a book. And when I sit in his presence, you know, he dictates things. Well, he may dictate a plan for you. I want you to get rid of this. I want you to change this. I want you to do that. But you need to invite him, and you need to sit with a plan and the paper and the pen. Okay, I'm ready. And I'm not going from here until you give me a strategy. And I'm not done, like Marilyn said this morning, until I win. Until I win. That's when we're done. When we win. And until we're done, we keep on going back for different strategies. You know what? This little water gun didn't work. I'm going for the big guns now. I'm going for the big machines. I'm going for the grenades. You know, what is it you need? Let's find it. Because I promise you, he has it. And he has it available, readily available to you. And last thing, don't underestimate the art of distraction. Do something else. If this is the time where you know you're feeling it, oh yeah, I'm going, then what do you normally do? Sit down and eat chocolate that is more conducive to it? Go take a cold shower. You know, you go with excuse, oh, I need to order something on Amazon, and then you end up on that website. No, go for a run. Go for a walk. You know, go clean somebody's house. Get distracted. Do something. Do something good. Change the course. There's got to be change. There's got to be change. Our sex drive does not have to feel out of control. And we can manage this by growing as a whole person, by growing every aspect of our lives, by learning to meet our needs where they can be met, where they can be satisfied, which is in Jesus. And I know for you it sounds a little religious, but the truth is that he is the answer. He is the answer. So if you're not serious about letting him in, then stop wasting your time playing church and playing meeting, because it's not going to work. It's never worked. The only way it works is being absolutely transparent and honest with him and letting him in. And then when he speaks, obeying that word. And some of you, I know God spoke to you. Some of you need to change some of the clothing you're wearing. And some of you need to stop watching some of those stupid shows that you're watching. And some of you need to break the radio in your car. You know, go by here. I'm sure there's plenty of good music in the bookstore. And you need to change so that you can be successful. But I'll tell you what, if you do ask him, and if you sincerely engage, there's not a reason for you to fail. Because our God already won the victory for us. It is hard, yes, but it is doable. And I want to take this last few minutes because I want to pray over you. I want to minister over your life. And I know for some of you, love was already awakened. Sex was already awakened. And it is harder. It is harder because you've experienced something and your body is used to something. And for some of you, the patterns that you've seen or what you've experienced with prior relationships have been a lie, has not been that truth that we need to meditate on. And you're still struggling going back to those same old habits, those same old patterns that leave you empty, used, lonely, still searching and looking. And as I was speaking, I even got a visual of a couple of you that have gone from one to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other, sleeping with all of them. And you're still searching. Honey, it's not there. It's not there. We've got to change gears. We've got to stop, assess, and then, okay, this is the route. And this is the route. This is the way out that God has given you. This is the way out. Him, he's the way out. So I want to pray for all of you right now. So if you want to close your eyes. Lord, we thank you so much. Because there's nothing that escapes your word. There's nothing that escapes your Holy Spirit. Oh, are we grateful for your Holy Spirit? We're so grateful. We're grateful that it's readily available. That it's right there to walk with us, that when we accept Jesus in our hearts, he comes to live inside of us, and that his nature begins to grow in us. But we don't want to be those Christians that are saved. We want to be those Christians that live their purpose and their destiny in you. And I just speak over these women right now, Lord God, that you give them strategies, specifics 1, 2, and 3 that they know that they need to change, that they need to add, that they need to adjust to, new ways that they need to embrace, accountability. I pray for sisters to sisters. I pray that you provide the right women, Lord God, that there's no shame, that there's no wrongful talking, that there would be no gossiping, but that we can trust our hearts, our weaknesses without shame, so that we can really experience freedom, so we can really be free in you, so we can work in unity and love, supporting one another, because it is two, it is better than one, because that's where you have us live in community. You said that we need to congregate, that we need to live with one another, because you knew we were going to need the encouragement, we were going to need the love, we were going to need that someone else can provide for us, Lord God. And I just pray for holiness, for a spirit of holiness to be just go from the top of their heads all the way, Lord God, to their toes. Just a new manifestation of your holiness, a new understanding of the holiness that Jesus is, and that we can embrace that, Lord God, and walk in that fear, walk in that understanding, but also walk in that perfection and that fullness that comes from wanting to be holy just like Jesus was. Lord God, I speak to every shame that it leaves them in the name of Jesus, that any practice, that anything that we've done is something of yesterday. We take our ashes, Lord God, and we take them all the way out of the camp, all the way out of the camp, Lord God, and we bring the wood. We start burning a new sacrifice, understanding that we have you right by our sides, Lord God, and that we can be successful, that we can be triumphant, that we can be victorious because we are yours. Thank you for loving us exactly where we're at, exactly how we are. You've added value to us, and you think we're great. You think we're awesome. You see us beautiful. What you see is beautiful. What you see it through the eyes of Christ. We are beautiful. We are wonderful. We are capable. We are empowered, and we're not alone. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for loving us, for embracing us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Bless you all. I'll see you, I'm sure, next year. If not, speaking, hanging out. This is my conference. And if any of you care for any of my materials, they're at the bookstore. Gift it to somebody. Whatever you want to do with it. Bless you all.